Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So you are cycling through your inventory and then you come to this, the latest episode of Press X to continue. Your energy is low. You have a long day ahead of you, so you need a rest. You need to recuperate. You need to take your mind off the task that is in hand. And the good news is that listening to a full episode of this podcast is going to regenerate and recharge all of your health. So you got all your little hearts back fully. What am I talking about?
I get it. It's, you know, when you go to the inn, you go to the bed, you're fully asleep, you wake up 100% revived. Yeah.
My name is Stefan Powell, and there, bailing me out of trouble, as ever, is Einel Tomlinson. And I love our intros. They're all very good. I just didn't do a very good job of reading that one out. But here we are. We're, you know, it's a podcast vibe, Einel. Sometimes we get things right. Sometimes we get things wrong.
Hey, let the listeners know that is we're just rolling with things.
We're rolling with it. You know, it is what it is. Now, Einel, last time we were together, we did Ali Plum's quiz, his gaming quiz. If you've listened along, let us know how you did in the quiz, by the way. Get involved in the Discord. Let us know how you did, what scores you got. If you haven't listened to it yet, you can go back and listen to our episode with Ali Plum, who's the UK's best quiz master when it comes to pop culture, in my humble opinion. And he was with us. And you had to go and have a shower afterwards because you were stressing so much.
Listen, the stress. I mean, some of us would blame it on the weather, but I think it's just the stress of the atmosphere that Ali created. That's what that is. But like, I'm pretty certain there's some people in the community that probably came out with top marks, though.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, so I think I one with around 18-ish. I got lucky because the first two rounds I was good at and the last round I was terrible at, but I didn't. It was close.
We might have to get Yes Andy No to do a recount for us. That's what we were.
And if you're listening, get on it. See if you can, you know, do some maths, see if I can feel better about it. But no, it was a really, really fun episode. Yeah, so I had to go and have a little shower afterwards because it was
intense, man.
It was intense. But yeah, let us know how you got on with Ali's quiz. Who got the highest score in the Discord? We'd love to know. Post your results. That's what we should do. Actually, yeah, make sure you're posting
highest
results
score
in the Discord.
Yeah.
Do it. That'll be great. Right. We are starting off this week's episode, as ever, with an unsung hero game. This is a game that maybe didn't get the plaudits it deserved at the time. Maybe it's been forgotten by the, you know, mists of aging. And as we move on to the 21st century and we grab for the newest, shiniest thing out there, sometimes we like to start, well, not, we do it every week, we start every episode by remembering something that made us smile, made us feel joyful and made us happy that we don't talk about enough. And interestingly enough, a game that I would have chosen, Einel, and we're both going to do one this week we've got a bit of a looser, lighter feel, by the way. It's me and Einel here just chatting some stuff with you, and we're going to go through some of your Discord questions, a couple of other sort of talking points that have come up in the last couple of weeks. We'll be getting into all that, those sorts of things this week. Interestingly, I had this down as one of my, I've got a list of unsung hero games that I'd like to get to at some point. Ali talked about Marvel's Midnight Suns last week, for example. And then also Rob in the Discord put this one in and we matched. It's the same one. So the game I want to talk about, it's still talked about in the circles of people that played this game at the time today, right? Still beloved, still sort of looked upon through rose-tinted glasses and like revered as this mythical, magical game that was a moment in time if you played it.
Ooh.
It's still the best game in its niche genre. I don't like calling it niche genre, but I'm going to do it in the purposes in the video game space. It's a niche genre. It's still the best game in that genre, despite the fact it came out in all the way back in 1997. Right?
Ooh, we're going back.
Okay, we're going back. Now, there was a game in 2008 that rivaled it, but ultimately not as good as this one, 1997. Fans are still yearning for a comeback, a remake, a remaster, or something. It has the best, most fun commentary in a video game ever. So it's a sports game, right? Some of the commentary, right, done by a beloved and legendary broadcaster on like telly who did it for the game as well. And he says things like, He's digging like a demented mole there. I won't do the Scottish accent. And he says, it's like a pack of Sherman tanks running down the field, right? Some amazing commentary lines. Rob from the Discord also agrees with me and sent us this. So I'm hoping the people now are trying to guess what it is. I can see your face trying to guess what it is. Rob says, possibly not unsung, but certainly doesn't get enough praise in my eyes. My nomination for the unsung hero game would be the greatest sports game of all time, Jonah Lomu Rugby on the PS1. Legendary commentary from Bill McLaren. The gameplay was super fun and easy to pick up. Preacher up. There were enough tournaments to keep you busy for hours at a time. The handoffs were really great. It's a genuine example of less is more in terms of controls and realism, which makes it so fun to play. Rugby's a complicated game, I know. They tried to make it since then, and it's been so convoluted with different mechanics that it just bogs it all down. Mm-hmm. This was simple, brilliant, beautiful, and we still want more of it now.
Yeah, I remember it. It wasn't like arcadey in that sense, but like it didn't take the sim element of it too serious. It was like you could pick it up, because I remember renting this one, and so like this is back in the days of Blockbuster Video.
Bring back Blockbuster Video.
Most of us wouldn't have played all the games we have if it wasn't for Blockbuster.
Yeah. Renting games for a weekend was the way forward. Now, you've got to be ready to make an investment, time and money, and then you didn't have to.
And particularly sports games, I think, were the best to kind of rent, because obviously because they were like yearly, FIFAs were coming out all the time. But like games like Jonah Lomu, John Madden, the Madden games, like all of those I rented to play. And Jonah Lomu was good. I don't have any other rugby games to compare it to, but I will take your...
you can take my lead on this one. You can trust me.
So I'd say the one game that I have played, it is very good. I'm assuming it is the best.
The closest that gets us is Mario versus Sonic at the Olympics is a 7-a-side rugby version, which I played with. Yeah, which is actually really fun. The rugby challenge games have got challenges, should we say. EA Sports had a series of rugby games in the late noughties. These were quite good. 08 was the sort of rugby 08 was the pinnacle of that. Didn't quite live up to it. And I can remember, I might have told this story on the podcast before, but interviewing my old job, I interviewed the boss of EA. Oh, he was boss of Battlefield 1 at the time, and he's gone on to be the boss of, what was his name? Patrick Soderlund, I want to say, if I just plucked that name. I know. Anyway, I was chatting with him, doing an interview about Battlefield 1 when Battlefield came back. And off the back of the interview, just chatting away, I just said, can I ask you a question? Why did EA stop doing? He's like, why did EA stop doing rugby games? And he's like, dude, why are you asking me about this? But anyways, so we had a real long chat about it. And basically, it was at the time, it was like, well, you could tell it was like, it's cash, you know, because like rugby is a massive sport in certain
places
in the world. But now you need universality to make money in games. And so that's difficult to do. But anyway, John Lomu Rugby, unsung hero game. If you get a chance to play it somehow, if you've got an emulator or something, go and do it. It's a laugh.
That's just a good laugh.
Press X to continue is proudly sponsored by you. That is right. If you want more Press X content, then hop over to our socials and see how you can support us and see how you can help us keep the content coming out. You can access live streams, bonus episodes, behind the scenes content, and even, if you're feeling fancy, some Press X to continue merch. What's your unsung? We're doing two unsung hero games this week. Because we can. Why not?
My unsung hero game is like, you gotta remember, we're in the era of cross-media where games are turning into films and TV series are turning into, like, it's all one thing. But this game did it before all the rest. Did it all in one. This was a game and a TV series.
Oh, I know where you're
combined.
Going for.
Timey-wimey, time travels, multiverses, did all of that.
Hollywood actors.
Quantum Break on the Xbox One by Remedy. What a game. Lance Reddick was in it. Fantastic actor. Rest in peace. Oh, had so many. And to be fair, the TV portions of it, I really enjoyed. But it was like a really cheaply made procedural kind of drama that you get in the States. Like, you could tell they like the way in which they shot it, that they were trying to cut corners and save money in certain places. But it was great the fact that you played the game, you made a big choice and then you saw that choice being played out in the TV show. So the TV show had multiple different options and scenes that you'd see depending on the choice you make in the game. And yeah. So it was nice like to play a game where, oh, nice, I'm making a choice and then I'm seeing those choices getting played out in an FMV style. Fantastic. Yeah.
I think there was a thought for a time that this might be the direction that games would go in terms of cross media, and it might still be. It might just have been it was a bit too far ahead of its time, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is a bit far ahead of its time, mainly because I think people didn't have the patience to sit through like a 25-minute episode of a TV show after you've been running around gunning and shooting enemies and slowing down time with superpowers, slinging bits of the area around. And then all of a sudden, right, I'm going to stop that and I'm going to watch a TV show for 25 minutes. Like for some people, that was great having that like release and the tension release thing. Other people, they didn't vibe with it.
Yeah, Quantum Break, absolutely loved it. Well, look, keep your suggestions for Unsung Hero games coming in the Discord. We love reading them because also it just makes you think, oh, remember that game? Wasn't that so cool? You know what I mean?
Which is just great. Hangs the nostalgia like bling. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, that's very good, very good. Right then, I know we had a lot of trivia here on Press X recently because of our recent trivia episode with Ali Plum, but it's time for some more. Okay, and this week's question comes from Levo in the Discord. And Levo also then goes on to credit Katie Owens on TikTok for telling this story too.
Ooh.
And if you want to get your questions in, you know what to do. There's a secret channel. Put your questions in there and we will try our best to answer them. And it shows how good, how difficult your questions are because we did pretty good in Ali's quiz.
Hey, listen, I think we got the majority of the questions right in Ali's.
We did. We were over 50% in Ali's quiz, right? He had 30-odd questions and we had 80%,
I'd say.
Yeah, like high, say high, high, yeah, right? Yeah. And we don't get that many right in the trivia section.
The percentages are wild.
It's wild. So, and thanks again to, yes, Andy North, whose maths is figuring out the leaderboard. Keza McDonald, still number one. Imogen Mellor, still number two.
Who wants to be a continuer?
So, the question this week, thank you to Levo, who's put this in. How did Peter Hook and Joy Division nearly influence the character of Edward Kenway in Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag? Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag is having a remaster, a remake. It's being done again, which is why there's a lot of people chatting about that at the moment. But how did Peter Hook and Joy Division nearly influence the character of Edward Kenway? Any ideas, I know?
I don't even know who Joy Division is. What the?
They're a big band. Lots of people love very successful big band.
It must be lyrics-wise or something. It must be.
Or was there a particular look that Joy Division had? Maybe that sort of influenced the character creation screen?
Oh, no. I don't know what... Robert Kenway, did we say?
Edward Kenway.
Edward. Was Edward the dad?
Edward Kenway.
So there was a Kenway's few Kenways in the Assassin's Creed.
Which was the baddie and which was the not baddie? Hold the phone. It's been a while since we played it, guys.
There's been a lot of Kenways.
Yeah.
So I remember there was a Kenway in the third game as well.
Yeah, so one of the Kenways set up the Templars, if I remember. Edward Kenway. No, I think, so Edward Kenway is the lead character in Assassin's Creed, Black Flag. His dad is the baddie, or his son is the baddie. Oh, hold the phone. Anyway, he's the main character in Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Okay.
Of course, famous for being Welsh-born, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is why Assassin's Creed for Black Flag is the best Assassin's Creed. So, but how did Joy Division influence him?
That's a tough one.
I think it must be appearance. That's my guess. Something about the way he looked. Or nearly influence him is the question, isn't it?
Yeah. But that was, they wasn't really doing like likenesses to, oh no, I guess they were though. We'll have to come back to that. That's tough.
Yeah, it's a tough one. We love these questions, so keep them coming in. You know what to do. Find the Discord, right, and whack them in there, and then we can turn it into a question and we will come back to it. So how did Joy Division, of course, a big Manchester band, I know, very famous.
Oh, my bad.
How did they nearly influence Edward Kenway, the lead character in Assassin's Creed 4? Black Flag, the famous Welsh privateer. We will come back to that question later on.
Because the Kenways were all, they were all English.
Well, Edward Kenway was Welsh born, wasn't he?
That's all.
Which is why, because he hey, look, there's not many of us in video games, right? So we're going to claim, we're going to claim the ones.
Take it away from
you. Okay. We're going to claim it. And that's it. And he was, I'm just okay, the Kenways ended up founding the Templars. So what's, this is all coming back to me now. It's ironic because it's his son, Haytham Kenway, who was the baddie.
Yeah.
Who founds the Templar Order.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's grandfather of the character you play in the
other game.
Are we
spoiling Resync for people?
So Edward Kenway is basically the father of the founder of the Templars and also a grandfather of an assassin.
Yes. That's it.
Yes.
Right.
Come on, Assassin's Creed
history. We ain't got the answer though.
No, we haven't got the answer. We ain't got the. It's from Swansea.
How is it?
But how to enjoy Division. Anyway, we will come to that. We'll think about more and come to the end of that later on the podcast. So what we're going to do this week, we're just going to go through some bits you've been chatting about in the Discord and and sort of adding our 2 pence to it. So well done, everybody. Thanks for keeping the Discord going. It's lovely seeing so many of you message each other and conversations popping off in there. And of course, to our mods who keep things on the straight and narrow and keep everybody safe and all that stuff. We really appreciate all the work you do. To David and Owen, who are always in there, asking for your tips and thoughts and stuff. The pod wouldn't happen without you all. So thank you very much for all of that. Right, Andrew's been on. He's asking us, Inel, what are our preferred sources of gaming news? A lot of news websites out there that are just clickbait or regurgitating what other sites say. What sources do you recommend? Great question, Andrew, because you're right. There is a lot of stuff out there and it's hard sometimes to know what you can trust and what you can't. What's your go-to?
I don't have like one. I have like a variety of different ones. There's a few like journalists I follow online, like Jason Schreier is really good for like Bloomberg and other. And there's quite a few journalists of his ilk that are, they usually put out breaking news for like big events that are happening in the game industry. Mainly to do with like companies, layoffs or acquisitions that are happening, and that's how I kind of stay tip top of that. Like daily stuff, there's a really good YouTuber called Spawnwave. He's really good. He does like daily videos that are like 15 minutes long of like the latest news that happened that day or that week, which is always quite nice because he's always quite objective with it, just letting you know the facts and things like that. And then out and about is generally just talking to different developers. I've been quite fortunate enough to kind of know a few developers and things. And the one good thing about like gaming developers is they love talking about games. So every time I see them, like we always get talking and they're always telling me about stuff behind the scenes or stuff that they're working on or stuff in the industry that they've heard or they're privy to that other people that are slightly outside the industry wouldn't know about.
Yeah, that's a great show for Mynell. And I think you've got to try and find some place that you vibe with because there's so much other stuff. It is stuff out there. And I will say, but before this is where I do feel sad about how Twitter changed over the years because Twitter used to be an amazing place where you could...
Best.
It was the best, wasn't it? Right, you could follow loads. You could follow content creators and journalists and developers in the same place, and you could click on one website, and all of their thoughts, comments, takes, links were all there. It was wicked, and we haven't really been able to find that. I know a lot of people went on to Blue Sky. It hasn't quite panned out that way. So I will lament that for a second, but before giving you some answers, Andrew.
Some of the bigger people are still on those platforms, but it wasn't as diverse as it was.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's say 8-9 years ago.
So I think I really like the weekly newsletter. That's the word that escaped me.
Yes,
weekly newsletter. The Kezia McDonald, who comes on the pod, does for the Guardian. Her and her colleague Keith Stewart, they write a newsletter every week called Pushing Buttons. Pushing Buttons is brilliant. It like basically gives you a talking point where they sort of riff on something that has happened or is new to the games industry in that point. They also put links to different stories in there. And so you can dip in once a week and feel like you're kind of across the stuff that's happening without being too much into the weeds of stuff. They write, obviously, write for The Guardian. So, you know, that's they write really well and they share really good links. And I love pushing buttons. Big fan of that. So that's one newsletter. I also get George Osborne's newsletter called the Video Game. Let me make sure I get George's is the Video Games Industry Memo. That's it. The Video Games Industry Memo. George Osborne writes that. Again, it's a Substack. If you want to get deeper into it, there's a free version as well. Again, once a week in your email, you just get these sent into you. Really clever take on stuff that's happening in the industry. But what George is really good at as well, and he's writing a book about this, which is out very soon, about how like games and the real world crossover from politics to pop culture to all, you know, finance, whatever. It's sort of like, so it's quite grown up, it's quite serious, it's quite, yes. But also written in a really fun way. Do you read it, Ryan?
I know of it. I it's a bit like I guess it's a bit like Game Industry Biz .biz is in terms of how like they kind of do their stuff as well.
Yeah, that's really good. But also it's really funny. George writes really well. And I've actually been lucky enough to read an advanced copy of his book to write a little something about it. And it's amazing. It's coming out in June. We have to get George on to talk about it. He's been posting about it on his social media. Really interesting stuff there.
There's a Digital Foundry is always good. Like I always think their technical analysis on things is really hugely detailed, especially for people that are into the nitty gritty of like specs and how things run and how games run on different systems and formats and things. Like they seem to be like the benchmark in terms of like digital analysis on video games and how they perform. And that can be handy if you're fortunate enough to have various different platforms that you can buy games on. So if you've got an Xbox or a PlayStation and a PC, you might think, oh, this multi-platform game, what's the best kind of format for me to buy it on for my particular taste? And that's the best place to go if you want to find out that information.
Yeah, 100%. I know, I've nailed it there. And then also another newsletter for you. So you get three games newsletters in your inbox if you fancy it. It's called The Game Business. And it's done by Christopher Dring, who used to work the games industry base.
I saw him the other day.
Yeah, I mean, legend. He knows so many. He's a British version of Jason Schreier that sort of Vinyl was talking about, I think. Knows loads of people in the industry. He's really clever about writing about, if you want to know more about sort of how many units of the Switch 2 is sold and what that means for like the future of games and stuff. He's very good at that. And he does big deep dive interviews with people as well. So three newsletters for me.
Podcast as well, he does.
But look at that. Yeah, he's got a podcast. We'll have to get these people on. When we get Kezza on, we'll have to get Christopher, we'll have to get George on to talk to, because they're just really clever, cool people that write really well about games. So there's still good stuff out there. Just maybe not as, you've got to do a bit more digging to find them, I think. Whereas in the old days, it was a bit easier because it was all in one place, I think.
Oh, good times.
And no, they were great, weren't they? I mean, that's how I met you, and that's how I came across you, Anel.
Is it?
Games Twitter, yeah.
Oh, snap, times, man.
Good times.
Do you know what? I even got like video game roles off of Twitter back in the day. See? There was a few developers that approached me and literally like DM'd me and asked me if I wanted to be a part of their game. And I was like, hell yeah.
Get on it.
Yeah, it don't happen like that no more.
So that is a great... No, that's so sad, isn't it? Sometimes we do sound like some grumpy old men, but it was true. It was better nowadays.
Back in the day, people were sliding your DMs trying to give you work.
Yeah, trying to give you cash. Take this money from me, please. Thank you for that, Andrew. Great question. Sean's been on.
That's a good one.
Do we think the gaming community cares less about awards than the films community? Oh, interesting question, Sean. There's a lot of fanfare on the BAFTAs and the Oscars in films. There's not quite the same buzz around gaming awards, including the BAFTAs. So we've got the Game Awards that come out before Christmas, don't we? That's interesting. I think... What do you think about that? Let me have a think about that for a second.
I think that's quite... Yeah, I think gamers are quite tribal in terms of, like, the games they really like and the games they want to support. Like, they're film buffs and TV buffs aren't in that same way inclined. If you really like a TV show, I really love that show, it's great. You might recommend it to a few friends. Whereas gamers, it's like, I put 1,000 hours into this thing. Like, and so when it gets snubbed at an award show or things like that, people get really bitter about it, and then they snub the award show in general. There's like some people that have had games that they really enjoyed that just got neglected in previous years, and they're like, well, I'm just not even going to pay attention to that side of the industry because they don't respect the things that I like. So it happens, because there's loads of games that are like highly rated that never make it into any of these games industries awards, just like in terms of like Oscars and TV and the TV world. Like there's loads of films, like I think like the Forza Horizon games like never been nominated for stuff, but they're always in the high 90s and stuff. So it's like people love those games, but
and they're amazing, like technical achievements and like just fantastic titles as well. So you can't nominate all of them, I suppose. My thought on this, John, this might be mildly, I don't think it's controversial. Let me know what you think of this. I think that the reason film and TV award shows do well or do better, or get more coverage, they get more coverage, so therefore people seem to care about them more, is because you've got more established stars in those spaces. So if you go and watch the Oscars, you're going to see Brad Pitt do his speech, or Timothée Chalamet look disappointed, or whatever. You're going to see David Tennant give an award speech and say something about his take on the state of the world sometimes. You know, people are more willing to use that as a platform. And because they're celebrities in their own right, they don't do many interviews sometimes unless they're plugging something. It's a chance you get to see them raw, a bit more raw, a bit more unfiltered and a bit more honest. And in the game space, because the games are the stars at the moment, that's changing. I think games actors are becoming famous. We were talking about Ben Starr, you know, with Ali, weren't we? He is now become, you know, he gets stopped on the street now, and Jane Perry, and we've had Alex Wilton Regan on. You know, we've had these, they are coming, but they're not intrinsically there as part of the games industry yet. And I think that, therefore, it has a slight loss of star power as a result to it. And that, I think, sort of supplies a bit of the...
I think you're right, because like going to like BAFTA awards shows and things like that, like 90% of the people there are developers that you've probably never recognized before because they've never been in front of the camera in that kind of way. And so which is why generally at the Game Awards and the BAFTAs, you get the celebrities handing out the awards and you get like the content creators and the people that are famous in their own realm kind of handing out awards, as opposed to other developers. You don't generally get the developers handing out awards to others.
Yeah, and it's great that the developers get a chance to shine because they are the stars of the industry. They make it sing, make us have a lovely time. But
so
I think
many people involved in so many games.
Yeah. I know. So I think that's part of it. And like, you know, so David, producer David has been messaging me, you know, he's a news producer when he's not doing Press X, when he's doing his other projects. And he'll say it's easier to get film stories on air than it is to get game stories, because often the people who will put the Oscars on the front page of a newspaper or the Oscars in a radio show or on the telly are people who watch films, not play games. Well, that's slowly changing as well. And the people in those positions of power then are more likely to put games on as we keep growing. And I faced that for years as a video games correspondent. Yeah. You know, your first question, what is Final Fantasy?
Oh my God.
Let me tell you. Do you know what I mean? That stuff does still happen.
Yeah, it always still happens. Can I say, as gamers, can we do our very best to kind of champion the devs and the people that work really hard in these games? Because they never get the plaudits and stuff that they deserve. Because like I've been lucky enough to be part of many video games before. And when the games come out, I get invited to launch events, get press kits sent to me and things like that. I'm fortunate enough to be in that position. But there's so many people that I've worked with like for hundreds of hours on these games, and they've probably done way more work than me. They don't get invited to nothing. They don't get sent a copy of the game. There's so many people that I've worked with that they've probably worked on like 20 different games, and they've never even just been sent a copy of it physically.
Yeah.
So we need the audience to kind of keep championing devs, keep celebrating devs to kind of boost them up, because otherwise they're just always going to be in the background.
Absolutely. And that's where I think the BAFTAs is quite good at that, because often you'll see the dev, a portion of the dev team go up on stage and collect the award and stuff.
Yeah, let them all come up.
Get them up. Get them up there. Sean, that is a great question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
And remember, you can do that, right? Get involved in the Discord, be part of the conversation. And from time to time, we do these episodes where we just sort of troll through some of the thoughts and comments you've had and just chat about them. Hello, us again. Just popping on to tell you about what's on our Patreon this month. We've got not one, but two of our top five episodes for you. Myself and Inel are going to be chatting about our top five sequels and our top five boss battles as well. And then later on in the month, we're going to be getting together for our very first live stream. And who knows what's going to go down when we finally get together for that. Now, you're going to be able to sit in with us and watch while we play, or you can go and watch the video on demand if you can't make it live on our Patreon. So get in before you miss it. Anyway, for now, back to the episode. I'm talking to producer David. He stuck a question in the Discord the other day because it was David Attenborough's 100th birthday not so long ago. And he was watching a documentary as a result of that about urban animals. And so we're asking, what is the best game where you play as an animal? Good. David Attenborough. You know, he's made all those amazing documentaries, often about animals. So what was the best game out there if you want to play it as an animal? And we had loads of suggestions in. And Demi nails it, in my humble opinion, I nailed straight away.
Yeah, I know.
Stray.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Like, I think it's the first time I remember playing as a cat.
Yeah.
It's the first time
I've ever played as a cat.
Oh, no, wait. Blinks. Time sweep or something like that. But Stray, you felt like a cat.
Yeah. So if you don't know what Stray is, it's set in this sort of modern city and you play as a stray cat going about his business, doing some bits and pieces. So Stray is a good shout for a title. My mind went when the question was sort of framed in the David Attenborough sense. Did you ever play that game Alba? I know.
Oh, so Alba, oh yes, I did. Did the little you? Girl.
Little pretty game where it's like, it's sort of like, it's cartoony, lovely aesthetic.
Yeah, you play a little girl who goes around trying to get signups.
Taking photos.
That's
on a Mediterranean island. Yeah. Trying to, basically, you'd be a wildlife photographer on this Mediterranean island, and it's very cute, very pretty, really sort of like zen, cozy game in the Animal Crossing sort of style. Mm-hmm. I thought David Attenborough, because, you know, you're taking photos, so it's not quite playing as an animal, but I would have put Alba in there.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Woogly suggests, does worms count? I guess it does. Worms are... Yeah.
Yeah.
Ippy's been on, saying the Nintendo have got loads. Star Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back.
Mmm.
Excited about that.
I've already got the pre-order.
Yeah. And you know, some people have been really criticising the look of it, aren't they, and the graphics.
I think it looks absolutely incredible.
Just let it come out. I've just seen a trailer.
I think the characters look great.
Yeah. I'm not on board with people like slagging someone off before they've actually... It's just a trailer.
I think it looks fantastic.
It's going to be great. Star Fox.
It's the best looking Nintendo game I've ever seen.
And he knows, the man knows, right? So don't listen to all those people who were mourning.
Is this PS5?
Yeah.
It's like, PC?
Look, just give us more Fox McCloud looking like that and we're cool with it, right? And don't let the naysayers get you down. It's going to be fantastic.
Down.
Star Fox, Splatoon, Donkey Kong, Bonanza, all games that spring into Ippy's mind.
Oh, yeah, they love animals at Nintendo, yeah.
Also, do you remember Deer Simulator?
No.
Just gonna.
What, you play as a deer or you shoot deer?
Just gonna.
That could be two very different games.
Deer Simulator. Hold the phone. I don't think I've come across Deer Simulator.
No, I don't know that one.
If there's a game where I can play as a deer, I mean, oh, hang about.
There's definitely a deer hunter game.
Oh yeah, the big yeah. Oh yeah, Deer Simulator is a bit mad, isn't it?
Is it?
I suppose it does count because there's animals in it and you are playing as an animal. So I suppose.
Oh yeah. Why is there pistols on there?
I don't know. It's a bit mad that one. But hey, you're right. It is a deer. You're right. You might have been hallucinating or having a crazy fever dream, but it is actually true that the way that game is. And then the classic. Well, hang about. We've had a goat simulator suggested, yeah? as well.
Oh, yeah. Ghost Limiters are quite fun.
Is it?
They're quite fun. Yeah, especially if you play like multiplayer. It's just about being a mischievous goat. It's like an Untitled Goose Game, but in 3D.
I love Untitled Goose Game. Another one of my suggestions.
The Goat Simulator games, I like that. They're a bit crazy.
Well, yeah, Goat Simulator, good shout. And then what was this last shout? And then from Johnny, Snake. Very good. That's
yeah,
good.
You can't go wrong with that. We all played that.
Yeah, we all played it.
And even if you didn't have a Nokia, you asked someone to borrow it so you could play.
And then once you realised what the trick was, you would just do that, wouldn't you?
That's it. Just do that.
Yeah.
Do that.
Levo said on the Discord that he reckoned he could have gone pro on Snake.
I reckon that's what got us all to be so really good at typing on our keypads was Snake. Playing so much Snake.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the trick was, in case you didn't know what the trick was, you basically just always went left to right, mm-hmm.
Zigzag it.
You just zigzagged all the way down. It was really boring, but that was the way you got the high score, just all the way down, ziggy zaggy.
You had to have the timing just right, though.
I had to get the timing just right. Listen, we're going to be back with you very soon, back with you next Tuesday with more Press X to Continue goodness. We will leave you, though, with the big question from today's show and the answer to the trivia. This week's big question, which is the one that our producers scheme up behind our backs as we record the episode, is this. What is the best game you rented from Blockbuster?
Oh!
That's a great question, Owen and David.
Fantastic.
It's a great question.
Mine might have to be a game on the Sega Mega Drive called Skitchin. Skitchin was basically, do you remember Road Rash, where you're on a motorcycle bike and then you're hitting people and you're trying to win the race? Skitchin was like that, but on rollerblades. And so you have to roller skate down the road, and then you had to skitch is when you hold on to the back of a car to gain some speed. And then you let go of the car and then you zing past the car. But what happens is when you're skitching on a car, another skater's on that car as well. And if they are, you got to punch them off.
Yes. So good. I remember renting Metal Slug of the Metal Slug games. For the Mega Drive 2.
Oh, Metal Slug.
So good. Love the Metal Slug games. It's like a side-scrolling army shooter. Lovely characterizations. Really
so
fun.
So hard.
It's really tricky. That's why I think I never went back and bought it, I think, because I loved it, but it was just too hard. It's too hard.
You used to eat people's like money in the arcades because they had an arcade, man. Gobble up people,
and you
money.
Had to like save up. I'm teaching this to my son now. We're playing a bit of Angry Birds together. He's got a favorite Angry Bird. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Big mm-hmm. Lad,
Big Lad, yeah.
Terrence, the big red one. And when we get playing, he always wants to use him first. I'm like, no, Joseph, you've got to hold on to Big Lad because he's the best one. Use the ones you don't like first, and then use him when you need him. So I'm like trying to, you know, teach him a little bit about
About saving, yeah?
Saving, yeah.
You know, like a junior ice and everything.
Management sim, isn't it? You know, like manage your flock. Manage your flock, Joseph, right?
Now let me tell you about direct debits.
Yeah. You've got to save the good stuff back. You don't want to use them all first up. Anyways, same with Metal Slug, because you just want to lob those grenades straight away
mm-hmm.
and then you'd never get them back again. So that was good. Great question, gang. And then, this week's trivia. Thanks again to a combination of Levo and Katie Owens on TikTok for this one. How did Peter Hook and Joy Division nearly influence the character of Edward Kenway in Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag? And the answer was originally, well, actually, what do you think? Because I've said something about his appearance.
I think it must be like lyrics must have influenced like background story or something.
Okay. Originally, Edward Kenway was meant to have a Mancunian accent because the writer was inspired by a lot of Joy Division's interviews at the time of writing. Matt Ryan then auditioned with a Northern accent and he got the job. But after they learned the actor was Welsh, they lent into that instead.
Oh,
that's a good question.
That's a good trivia.
Good trivia lever. Well done. Seeing something interesting on a different platform and rehashing it into a question for Press X to continue.
They heard his Welsh and then they said, keep
we want that. We want
keep that.
Yeah. Great question. So it just means you slipped down, I know, in the old leaderboard, I'm afraid, down to sixth. So that does mean that Geeky Cassie is
she's ahead of me now.
Has gone up ahead of you. Hey, don't blame me. Blame Yes Andy No, okay? He's the maths guy here.
I don't know about this algorithm, man.
Right. Well, listen, everybody, thanks for being with us. It's been a joy as ever. We will be back with you next week. Keep across all the socials. Invite more people into the Discord. We'd love that, actually. And mm-hmm. Just to keep things going. And we will see you next week for more fun. All the best. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Lovely stuff, I know. Lovely stuff.
Lovely stuff.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.